Hello, everyone. I am Ayla Ellison with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I am pleased to be joined by two guests, Amahai Niederman, Chief Executive Officer of NIM, and Kevin Roberts, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Geisinger, to discuss how AI is transforming revenue cycle management and medical coding. A veteran officer in the Unit 8200 of the Israeli Intelligence Corps, Amahai is a seasoned technology leader with a decade of experience in research, cyber, intelligence, and R&D, as well as a frequent speaker at technology conferences. With great passion for healthcare IT solutions, Amahai is seeking to apply his in-depth knowledge in order to transform the healthcare industry. Kevin Roberts joined Geisinger in April 2018, bringing more than 30 years of professional experience. He has an extensive background in business development and growth, corporate finance, health plans, mergers and acquisitions, financial operations, technology and investment management in large, complex, multi-state healthcare organizations. Amahai and Kevin, thank you for talking with us today. So the first question that I have is for Kevin. And the question is, how has revenue cycle management changed in recent years? And in what areas are you seeing the greatest advances? And what challenges remain?
Well, good afternoon. So the good news is revenue cycle technology continues to improve. And in fact, I would say over my career, you know, really dramatically, it has improved. But it, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, the complexity of revenue cycle management has continued to increase. Where we've seen a lot of change most recently is the entry of specialized partners or vendors or service providers who add really very unique functions to the revenue cycle. Additionally, we're seeing other vendors stitching together end-to-end services. We at Geisinger, we've taken advantage of these new entrants into the marketplace frequently by adding these relationships, and that has changed some of the ways in which we manage revenue cycle. We're seeing much more emphasis on automation in general, but I would add that we haven't seen a vendor that really has got it fully right all the way yet. Mid-revenue cycle is seeing considerable development activity. I mean, we've got a vendor in this space that has 80% share that has really dominated that mid-cycle, and we're starting to see a lot more activity in the documentation space, with firms using AI to identify documentation shortcomings. And of course, this is a space where NIM Health is developing or delivering really best-in-class technology with their clinical language understanding and autonomous coding solutions. And that's really very, very exciting from my point of view.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for kind of giving us that overview and what you're seeing in RevCycle and your experience working with NIM as well. I want to go ahead now and touch a little bit on talking about how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted revenue cycle, and in particular, revenue cycle management for emergency departments and urgent care centers. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Kevin?
Sure. I mean, COVID generally has shown us that we can perform many of the rev cycle functions remotely. We don't need these large office spaces with large numbers of people in place. That's reduced many of our infrastructure costs, but also has introduced people management challenges, such as how do you continue to build teams? How do you manage individual productivity, improve knowledge sharing, develop people for their next role in the organization, and also in an environment where everyone is working from home. You know, communication technologies that we've had in place and have recently put in place have helped with that, but we're still developing and learning the best ways to manage those remote teams. You know, as we think about emergency departments and urgent care centers, COVID has had a little less impact on the revenue cycle. We still need patient access representatives in these locations to check in patients, and we've got to keep them at the same time safe from potential infection. We have offered in a number of areas electronic check-in, as opposed to in-person check-in, though we see that mostly applicable in our clinic settings and less applicable in the ED and urgent care. I would just make one last comment relative to what COVID demonstrated, and that's really around virtual care options. That's introduced challenges, especially in point of service cash collections, whether it's for patients' deductible or copay with respect to the specific service we're providing at the time, or prior balance collection that we always make an effort to collect.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I think it's really interesting to hear from you about what you're seeing in terms of, like you said, the revenue cycle functions that can be performed remotely and sort of some new challenges that have presented as well. Our next question today, I'd like to direct this one to Amahai, and just I would love to hear from you about what role has technology played in enabling more efficient revenue cycle management at scale, and which tools have had the greatest impact, or which tools do you think are most promising?
Sure. Thank you. So, revenue cycle, when you look at it, so I remember when I first looked at rev cycle, it's kind of an outsider originally. You see it in the way that it's been operating essentially forever. You have armies of people performing a lot of back office tasks, and those number of people just grow and grow over time. And what you've been seeing over the last few years is there are companies, a lot of great companies introducing new technologies into this space. Or originally, nobody tried to take out those people out of the equation. I don't think anybody's been trying to, but they first developed what they call workflow improvement, just building tools that help people, the flow of information, move faster from person to person while doing their work, being able to evaluate how they're doing their work better. And as time progressed and technology evolved too, and there was more data collected as well, you can see that some companies started adding what they call like assistive technology. Like in our case, we do autonomous medical coding. So you see that there a few years ago, you had a surge of companies introducing what they call computer-assisted coding tools that help coders with their work, but can't fully displace them. And now as we're getting closer to, the 20s of the 2000s, then you see there are more and more automation coming in. You see more technology coming in, actually displacing key functions that people used to do just because the technology evolved. And when you're moving to full automation from just workflow improvement or assistant, then you're starting to see improvements that you couldn't see before. You're starting to see real-time results. So tasks that used to take sometimes up to 10 days, 2 weeks, perform now can be done in a second. You can get results almost immediately. It's something we even see sending back feedbacks to the providers themselves, as if you send them the feedback almost immediately, still fresh in their mind, the results that they could actually get from this feedback are much better instead of sending them a week or a month after, where they have to remember what they're doing. So the more we move into full automation with the available technology, you see other kind of softer ROI that you couldn't see before. Like I said, starting from speed, better quality that it's hard sometimes to get from people just because of our disadvantage compared to a computer and things like that.
And are there any other or anything else you'd like to share about the risks or pitfalls that you see, in this area with trying to sort of enable more efficient revenue cycle management?
Yes, some of the things that we're seeing is mostly around, especially as a technologist, you said there are a lot of companies that stumble upon an interesting technology that's been around that they want to implement. It's more about the technological curiosity than actually solving a real problem. And you see that sometimes with some other companies that are finding some really great technology that unfortunately it's not the right fit for healthcare. Like I like saying, it's a square peg in a round hole sometimes, and you're trying to apply the wrong technology, and you don't have either a strong business case or just this is not the right technology for the set of problems that you're seeing in healthcare, especially in revenue cycle. You have to remember it's a workflow problem. And if you can't actually perform every part of in the workflow, you can find yourself either cutting corner and getting into place where you're submitting suboptimal claims from either a quality perspective, revenue perspective. You can put your clients at risk. So those are some of the stuff that we're actually seeing and one thing that led us to even start NIM in the first place.
Thank you so much. And for the next question, I want to hear from both of you on this one. So it's just, how did the Geisinger and NIM partnership come about? And then Also, what has the impact been to Geisinger, and where do you see the partnership going? And Kevin, I'll begin with you on that one, and then love to hear from both of you, though.
Certainly, and I'm happy to do this. I mean, it's an interesting story in that I think it was late 2017, Amihai and I were on a telephone call. I think he was attempting to kind of level set on the perspective of a CFO on this idea he had for a new company that obviously featured what became NIM and featured autonomous coding. And I was incredibly impressed with the idea. It was something that I've been looking for a long, long time in my career, and that is continued and better use of automation to reduce all of the labor that we have in manual workflows in and around, in this case, in coding. And we met in June of 18, so about 9 or 10 months later, and we furthered our discussion. And then as he and his team really built out the technology, we stayed connected. We began a pilot at Geisinger in 2019, I recall, late, I think. And then that, of course, spilled over into COVID, which delayed it a little bit. And then we formalized our agreement, I believe it was late last year, and then began an implementation of new revenue cycle technology more broadly, which delayed our really formal beginning of the relationship. But we've had it in place now for a number of months. And what we have now is 30% of our emergency department cases are coded by NIM Health and their technology. And that's on both the facility or technical side as well as the professional side. We look to increase that percent of cases that are coded over time. And I think importantly, where that would take us days and a number of people to do that coding of those records, NIM does that in a matter of minutes or perhaps even faster than that. So very expeditious turnaround.
Thank you so much, Kevin. And Amihai, anything you'd like to add there or to talk a little bit more about the partnership?
Yes, of course. Well, that's been kind of a wild ride in the last 2 years. It's been around. And yes, when we first met Kevin, we knew that coding, it's a huge problem. We want to get the perspective of people, leading people in the industry to hear how they think about this, because we knew that the way people have been approaching the medical coding problem for years now, from a technology perspective, just didn't work, didn't get to the results people were expecting. And it's kind of an interesting problem people have been trying to solve for a very long time. But we knew that with what we started developing, and I think when we met Kevin, we're just in the beginning of the development, what we call our CLU, our clinical language understanding, which is basically the heart of the technology that we built of the company. It's what we call our computational linguistic engine that gives the ability to actually automate coding. We were just in the beginning of this. And over the last 3 years, we kept developing and improving our engine, moving into being able to automate roughly between 50-60%. Now with Geisinger, we're just in the beginning, but increasing what we call our coverage, our ability to automate their coding almost every single day now, we're increasing this number. And the fact that we got to work with Geisinger, it's a great thing for the company, because I think we do a very good job, actually great job at coding, but Geisinger, just seeing their coding results, learning from their team, just getting their feedback helps us improve the engine all the time. So just seeing the stuff that they're asking us is pushing us, it's pushing the envelope of the company and our product all the time. So in my opinion, it's been a great partnership, and we're pretty lucky to have this.
Thank you both so much for sharing how that partnership came about and just how great it's going so far. I wanted, before we wrap up today, I wanted to get both of your insights on one last question, and that is just, what is next for revenue cycle management, and how do you envision the process evolving in the near future? And Kevin, I'll start with you, and then Amihai, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Okay, well, thank you, and I'm happy to make some comments on this. I mean, clearly, greater use of technology, but in really very special ways, so that and also artificial intelligence and machine learning across all parts of the revenue cycle. You know, I would summarize it this way, though. the way we use technology and the technologies that need to be deployed in RevCycle in the future, we've got to reduce the number of touches on every single account, because that is labor, it's time, it's inefficient. We've got to reduce the friction that we have with payers for a claim. The technology has to improve to the level that dramatically increases our efficiency, as at the same time improving the overall effectiveness of what we do. That is, I think, where we have to go, and I'm optimistic where we will go with companies like NIM and others that are making use of very, very contemporary and leading edge technologies.
Thank you so much, Kevin. And Amaha, anything to add there?
Yes, I think the only thing that I'll say that where I believe or even hoping that RevCycle will move into is kind of bridging the gap between payers and providers. I think right now there is kind of a distrust between the two. And the more technology you bring, like Kevin said, the less touches that you have, the more cases where you can introduce either human error and more visibility into the process, then you can increase the trust between the payers and providers. And if we move there, it gets us closer into, well, even into an auto adjudication world. I think this is where I love seeing RevCycle evolve into.
Thank you so much. And that's all the time that we have for today, but I want to thank Amaha Niederman and Kevin Roberts for your time and the thought-provoking responses today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.